Today we begin a very interesting story. The story of Dr. Marici. You have no idea what the story is about, but it's such a geschmacka name, Dr. Marici. All of a sudden everybody goes bananas or hot dogs or grapefruit, whatever you're eating over here. But it's good. In Prague, in the time of the Maharal, was a doctor, and his name was Dr. Marici. Now, this story is not so much about Dr. Marici, it's more about his daughter. But it's not really so much about his daughter, it's about a whole bunch of other things and other people, but we have to call it something, so we're going to call it Dr. Marici. Now, it does not say the name of his daughter. We're going to name her Sarah, just so we have a name, instead of every time saying Dr. Marici's daughter. Now, this is what happened. Every morning, Dr. Marici would go to his office, his doctor's office, and over there, patients would come, and of course, they would want to see Dr. Marici, and he would be in his special room, and the patients would come outside in the waiting room and sit on the chairs. And there's a desk over there, and Dr. Marici had a secretary who took care of all the different things until the people go to see the doctor. Because, of course, the doctor is too busy to sit by the desk and do all the special things the secretary does. One morning, as Dr. Marici is about to go to his office, all of a sudden, the telephone didn't ring because there was no such thing as a telephone. And the doorbell did not ring. There was no such thing as a doorbell. But there was a knock on the door. And all of a sudden, the servant opens the door. And there is the secretary. I have to see Dr. Marici. Oh, you look sick. I have a cold. I have to tell Dr. Marici that I'm not coming to work today because I have a cold. Oh, no secretary today. Okay. Well, Dr. Marici was coming out, ready to go out the door, and he sees the secretary. Oh, you look sick. Yeah, my nose is red. I've been blowing it all day. I have a cold. Okay, well, you better go home and go to bed. And when you feel better, you'll come back. All of a sudden, Sarah, Dr. Marici's daughter, who is a big girl, she comes over there, and she sees what's happened, that the secretary can't come to work, and her father won't have a secretary. She says, Tati, you won't have a secretary. What are you going to do? Well, Dr. Marici says it's a problem. Tati, I'm a big girl. Could I be the secretary until your secretary gets well and she comes back? And Dr. Marici thinks over, you are a big girl, Sarah, but I don't know. You know, to sit there with all the patients and do all the things the secretary does. Oh, I know what to do. I've been in your office a lot of times. I see what the secretary does. Well, okay, I guess you can come with me and be a secretary today. Oh, good. Thank you, Ta. And Dr. Marici and his daughter, Sarah, they go to the doctor's office. And Dr. Marici goes into his doctor room and he does all his doctor things. And the patients come and they sit down in the chairs. And Dr. Marici's daughter is, you know, taking their names and writing stuff down and asking what's wrong. And arranging the charts and all the kind of stuff that secretaries do. She's not answering phones. Why not? How come she's not answering the phone?
There's no phones in these days.
No phones in these days. Halavai in these days would be no phones. In those days are no phones. Well, Kinalach, all of a sudden, that day just so happened, unfortunately, there came through the door Tadus the Galach. Do we all know who is Tadus the Galach?
Yeah!
Tadus the Galach. Don't get too excited. He's a big Rasha. Don't get excited from a Rasha. Tadus was the Galach. On the other side of town, the big green church, a big troublemaker, made a lot of trouble for Yidden, a lot of trouble for the Maharal, always scheming and looking for plots and plans to do things against the Yidden, especially against the Maharal. But that day he had a stomach ache. He was feeling very bad. He knew he had to go to the doctor because the regular things that he had in his house were not working for his stomach ache. And he knew that Dr. Marici was an excellent doctor, even though he's a Jew, which Tadus was not so excited about that, but he knew that he was a better doctor than the other doctors in Prague, so he went to Dr. Marici. And he sits down in the chair right next to Sarah. And Tadus is looking at Sarah. Why is Tadus looking at Sarah? You know why? Because, you know, all of a sudden it seems that Tadus' bichel felt a little bit better because he wasn't thinking about his stomach ache so much. He's thinking about something else, looking at Sarah. Do you know what he's thinking about?
To get Sarah into the church.
What Tadus liked more than anything else, more than you like a good piece of chocolate or a delicious piece of pizza, Tadus likes to trick and catch a Yid to chas v'shalom come to his green church. And all of a sudden, as soon as Tadus sees a nice Jewish girl sitting by a desk, all of a sudden his mind is planning and plotting and scheming. How can I catch this girl in my trap? And I should get her to come to my green church. The Kinalach, we had a story once about a girl named Razel. Do you remember that story? Did you remember that story? Razel, who worked in the wine store? Okay. Now, it's very important to understand there was a big difference between Razel and Sarah Marici. Razel was a very tzniistic girl. Would she talk to the men that came in or just do business? Just do business. She did not want to talk any extra word, especially to a man, and especially to the different kinds of people that came into the wine store that were not necessarily eaten. And she was working there, but in a very, very careful, sneistic way. Now, sneis is not only how you dress, it's how you talk, or who you talk to. There are all kinds of things of sneis, modesty. Now, if it had been Razel behind the desk in Dr. Marici's office, but it wasn't, the story would have been much different. Unfortunately, Sara Marici was not so careful in her sneis and who she talked to. And all of a sudden, Tadus the Galach starts speaking to her. Hello, oh, a new secretary. You weren't here before. I've been here before sometimes. I've been here sometimes when I'm sick, and there's a different secretary. Are you a new secretary? Well, Sara says, not really. I'm Sara Marici. And I'm just here because the regular secretary is sick. And I'm going to do my father's work as a secretary until she comes back. Oh, Tadus says, that's very nice. I'm sure you're going to do a wonderful job. You look like a very smart girl. Well, yeah, I'm pretty smart. Oh, now, Kinalach, in just a few lines, Tadus sees that he has an easy catch because this girl is talking to him without any kind of holding herself back. And Tadus is thinking in the back of his mind, I think this stomach ache of mine is going to continue for a whole week. And in fact, as long as this girl is here, I'm going to plan to have my stomach ache so I can come in each and every day. And Tadis knows how to work in a tricky way. Not all at once. Little by little, like we had once. How does the Yetzirah work? Who remembers the Yetzirah of Yavan? Who remembers Hanukkah, the Yavanim? Yavan is the Rasha of Hanukkah. And of course, every Rasha in the Torah is unfortunately also a part of our Yetzirah. How do you spell Yavan? Yud Vav Langanun. What does that show us? The Yetzirah, or Tadis in this case, first he does a little bit, like a Yud. A Yud is a little bit down. That's all. Tadis just that day spoke a little bit, then it was his turn to go to Dr. Marici. Tomorrow, when he plans to come in, he is going to be like a Vav. Well, a Vav is not a Yud, it's a little bit down more than a Vav, than a Yud. What is a Vav? A Vav starts like a Yud, but it goes even lower than a Yud, down more. And a Langanun, what's a Langanun? It's a Yud, a Vav, and way down. Oh, that's how he works. A little bit one day, more the next day, all the way down. That's what Tadis is thinking. And he goes into the Dr. Marici. Oh, I have a stomach ache. Oh, Gewalt. He didn't say Gewalt. He said, Galach. Oh, I have a stomach ache. And Dr. Marici says, what did you eat? What did I eat? You know, meat and garlic and onions and pickles and more meat and garlic and onions and pickles. And I had more onions and pickles and garlic. Well, no wonder you have a stomach ache. Well, I was thirsty. I drank a few bottles of wine. Well, of course you have a stomach ache. You shouldn't eat so much. Well, I was hungry. Well, control yourself. Okay, here's some medicine. Hopefully your stomach ache will go away. Okay, Tata says, thank you very much. And he says goodbye to Sara Marici. Oh, goodbye. Kenelech Tadis goes back to his big green church and he's so happy with himself. He says, I'm going to catch this fish in my net. Well, he did not eat meat, garlic, pickles, and onions and drink wine that day, and his stomach felt better. But the next day, you know where he went again? Where did he go again?
To Dr. Marici.
Does he want to see Dr. Marici or he wants to see Sara Marici?
Wants to see Sara Marici.
Well, he comes into the doctor's office the next day. Oh, my stomach! Oh, his stomach hurts! His stomach felt fine. Oh, must be the medicine I took. I took too much medicine this time. I didn't eat garlic and pickles and onions. I took too much medicine. I think that made me sick. Maybe I'm allergic to it. Well, Sara Marici's there. Oh, Tadis, sit down. My father's very busy today. Yeah, I just got an emergency. It's going to be at least an hour. Oh, that's terrible, says Tadis. I have to wait here an hour? Yes, it's an emergency. What do you think Tadis was doing for that whole hour? He was draying her a cup and speaking to her. And unfortunately, she was speaking to him because she was not careful and sneeze. And he made up a reason to keep coming back each day with a new stomach ache, or maybe a headache, or maybe an earache, or maybe an elbow ache, or any excuse, just so he could sit next to Dr. Marici's daughter and poison her mind, chas v'shalom, with his stuff. Because he wanted to get her to come to his big green church. Unfortunately, Tadis' plan was working. First of all, Dr. Marici's daughter was not careful in sneeze. She talked to the galach and she let him talk to her. That was the first problem. She should have just sat by the desk and done her work and be nice and say good morning, and you'll have to wait a few minutes and all that kind of stuff. The secretaries tell the people in the doctor's office. She doesn't have to sit there and talk and talk and talk and listen and listen and listen. Especially to a galach. Or as we spoke many times, if missionaries are walking around, as they do on Sunday mornings, squeaky clean with their briefcases, and they have that funny smile on their face, and they ring your doorbell, and they tell you, we would like to speak to you about world peace and safety. And it seems very nice and wonderful. And really, they're missionaries that are trying to catch you into their trap, like Tadis is trying to catch Sara Marici. And he was unfortunately being successful. We will not go into a lot of details in this part of this story, but what we're going to tell you is this, that he poisoned her mind, and one night during Chol HaMoed Pesach, and Sara Marici, in the middle of the night, packed up a little suitcase, she took her stuff, she ran away from home, and she actually went out of the Jewish neighborhood into the other neighborhood, and over there she went to Tadis' Big Green Church. And he had a big, big funny smile on his face when she came. He was so happy. And he took her up to that room on the fifth floor. Remember where the girl Razel stayed later on? Because this story happened before the Razel story. So Rabbi Burstein, if this story happened before the Razel story, how come you're telling the story now after the Razel story? Well, I only found the story now. I couldn't tell it before I found it. How can I tell the story if I didn't know it yet? That's just the way it goes. Kinelach Tadis was eating now his supper. Actually, he wasn't eating his supper. He sat down to eat the supper. He didn't eat anything yet. And Sara Marici is in the room on the fifth floor. And Tadis is sitting in his dining room in the Big Green Church, ready to eat supper. He's hungry and he's so happy, thinking how lucky he is. He caught his fish. He caught Sara in his trap, and she's up on the fifth floor. And he is going to go on with his brainwashing until Chas V'Shalem, the end is that she wants to be convert to Bishmadzich, to become a Goy, Rachmana Litzlan. And now Tadis is sitting ready for supper, and he calls his servant, I'm hungry, bring the supper. What's for supper tonight? The servant says, your favorite food, Tadis, meat. Oh yeah, a big plate of meat. Okay, I'm ready to eat the meat. Bring it here, I'm starving. And Tadis is sitting there by the table wearing his bib, holding his fork and knife, ready to eat. And the servant brings in a big plate of flesh. But Tadis didn't call it flesh. He called it meat. A big, gigantic, big plate of meat. I don't know if they had anything else. Of course, garlic and onions. Plenty of garlic and onions and meat. And now Tadis, of course, without a bracha. He's not going to make a bracha. He starts now to eat a piece of meat. And all of a sudden he screams, ah! This meat, it tastes like shoes. It's so tough. It tastes like I'm eating a shoe. This is terrible. And Tata starts screaming, I haven't had a good piece of meat in a few weeks. Ever since George the Butcher was sent off to the North Pole, I haven't had a good piece of meat. And the servant says, yes, either have I. All the meat is tough, like shoes, like boots. And Tadis says, poor George, sent off to the North Pole, George the Butcher, And now there's a new butcher, and the meat he gets is not good. It's tough like shoes. Now, who is interested to find out why George the Butcher was sent off to the North Pole? Okay. Well, I'm glad you're interested, but I can't tell you. It's such a yucky story, especially while you're eating your nice kosher lunch in yeshiva. And, of course, all the mommies and tatis are thinking about their kinalach and the nice yeshiva learning Torah and doing mitzvahs and eating kosher food. And they would never want you to hear this yucky, terrible story. So don't even ask me to tell it to you. It's too yucky and terrible. All I can tell you is this. Because if I told you the story, the mommies would call and complain, and they would get upset at me, so I don't want that. And of course, I don't want you to hear a yucky, terrible, horrible story, even though it's in the Sefer also, but this I can't tell you, so don't even consider it. But I'll tell you a little bit. George the Butcher was a big troublemaker for Jews. And there hadn't been too much trouble for a while. Something strange was going on in Prague in the last few months, that any time somebody was starting trouble, instead of the trouble going to the Jews, it went back for the troublemaker. But George didn't believe those stories that he heard about troublemakers getting caught in the middle of the night and hauled off to the police station. And George told his troublemaker friends, he's going to make real trouble, and he's not going to get caught. So he did a yucky, terrible, horrible thing, which I'm not going to tell you, to try to get a very special Jew named Reb Mordechai Meisels. He was the Parnas Chodesh of Prague. George the Butcher owed him $5,000, and he didn't want to pay him. So in order to not pay him, he tried to get rid of him. And in order to get rid of him, he was trying to make a blood libel, Alilas Dam. George the Butcher made a terrible plot against Reb Mordechai Meisels in order to get him in trouble. But in the middle of the night, the same thing that happened to other troublemakers happened to George the Butcher, that this man who could not talk would come out of nowhere, grab him, take him to the police station. No matter what George the Butcher or any other troublemaker would try to do to get away, whether it would be with a knife or his hands or a piece of metal or a sword, they could not get away from this man. And they would get thrown into the police station and locked up, and they would be discovered, and the police would find out that they were troublemakers. And there had not been trouble for Jews in a few months in Prague, and nobody could figure out who in the world is this strange man who cannot talk, who comes in the middle of the night and catches troublemakers and takes them to the police station. Well, George the Butcher was caught, sent off to the North Pole, and the new butcher came to the town, and since then, Tadas's meat tastes like shoes, and Tadas can't stand it. And Tadas is thinking to himself, wait a minute, troublemakers against Jews are getting caught by the same strange man who can't talk. Something is fishy over here. Okay. Tadas is thinking to himself, something is fishy over here. I suspect that Jewish rabbi, the Maharal, might have something to do with this, because he's always trying to help Jews, and he's always doing those mitzvahs and learning that Torah. Somehow I suspect the Maharal is behind this always catching the troublemakers. But I don't exactly know how, but I suspect it. All of a sudden, Titus calls his servant. Hey, servant, come here. Go to the cook and ask the cook to make me some other food because I can't eat these shoes. I can't eat this meat. And after you go and tell the cook to cook food, go into the Jewish neighborhood and spy. Spy around. Pretend you're just walking around. Because of course, you know, Goyim also go to the Jewish neighborhood on business, or, you know, they're passing through. But, you know, as you're going around, spy. Spy on the Maharal's house. Spy on the synagogue, the shul of the Jews. Spy over there what the Jews are doing by in the stores or in the street. Listen to what they're talking about on the street corner, or, well, Jews don't stand around street corners, but wherever Jews are talking, spy and listen to what they're saying and come back and give me a report while I'm eating my new supper. And make sure it's not meat, maybe fish. And no peanut butter sandwiches, please. And so the cook now starts making Titus a new supper, and the servant goes to spy on the Jewish neighborhood. This is what happened. Titus has just sent his servant to go and spy in the Jewish neighborhood because Titus is planning trouble. What was going on in Titus's head? Let's go over this a little bit. First of all, he was very upset that George the butcher went to the North Pole. Because the new butcher, we didn't tell you his name, it's probably Freddy or something like that, or some name that they had long ago, whatever his name was, he had different kind of meat than George. Tough meat. It was like shoes. Eating shoes. Titus didn't like to eat shoes. And he said, why did George get sent to the North Pole? This man who comes in the middle of the night out of nowhere and catches troublemakers. Very strange. Then he said, I wonder if the Maharal is behind this, who's always helping Jews. And then, of course, as he's upset, he's also happy. He has a Jewish girl, Sara Marici, who wants to, chas v'shalem, give up her Yiddishkeit and join his green church. Oh, he's happy about that. Now, he sent the servant to spy. About an hour later, as he gets his new meal, it's not meat that he wants, he got some kind of fish, who knows what it was, and he's sitting by his table, and he's eating, and all of a sudden the servant comes in, he says, okay, tell me, what did you spy, what did you find out? I want to know, maybe I can make some trouble today. Maybe for dessert, instead of I'll have my usual dessert, I'll make trouble for dessert. And the servant says, well, I'll tell you what I saw, and I'll tell you what I heard. And Titus, you're very smart. You can put it together to be some kind of a trouble. When I walked by the Maharal's house, I saw going in and out two servants. Titus says, wait a minute. I thought the Maharal only had one servant, that old man with the gray beard. His name is Avram Chaim. I know that from other times that you went spying. No, there were two servants. One was that old man, Avram Chaim, and another one was a younger man. It looked like he had a short black beard, and he was going between that shul and the Maharal's house back and forth, and I noticed that he could not talk. If the Maharal wants to tell him something, he uses his hands. And if he wants to tell somebody something, he also uses his hands, but he can't talk. Titus says, this is very interesting. Because that man who comes in the middle of the night also can't talk. And he's also kind of short. And he also has some kind of a short black beard. I'm suspicious that that new servant of the Maharal might be that man in the middle of the night. Go on, what else did you hear? Well, nothing. I was, you know, listening to what people were saying. And I heard something. It probably means nothing. Tell me, Tata says, who knows, maybe it means nothing to you, but for me, I can make some trouble out of it. Well, the news was that, what's the big deal? I'll tell you anyway. There was some servant girl, she's not Jewish, she used to work for a family, a Jewish family in the town of Prague, in the Jewish neighborhood, and she was a good worker, and she had another job. She worked for the family, but Shabbos, the Jewish Shabbos, she used to go around and light the fires in the ovens